DW, the 77%.
Hello and welcome to yet another packed edition of the 77%, a show for the African youth, where you get a chance to be part of the debate shaping the continent. I'm Eunice Wanjiro in Bonn, Germany. On today's program, we are looking at religion, poverty and corruption. And we ask, is there a connection? We'll hear what some of the youth in Uganda have to say.
The same people that are actually involved in corruption, they're the same people that are going to the churches. So I think it is the best alternative that we can have as Africa to use it as a platform to make sure that the Christians, who also dub as civil servants or any person who can get involved in corruption, are put to order.
We'll also have a guest in the studio to discuss the whole issue. Plus, we'll take a look at what you've been saying on our YouTube, Facebook and WhatsApp platforms. So stay tuned. And remember, you can still be part of this by visiting our Facebook page, DW Africa, and make sure to leave us your comments. Religion is one of those topics that people often avoid talking about. Well, not here on the 77%. But today, we're not just looking at religion on its own, but asking the question, is there a correlation between religion, poverty and corruption, especially in African countries? Another question we're putting across is, why is it that some of the most religious countries are amongst the poorest and most corrupt countries in the world? According to Transparency International's Corruption Perceptions Index of 2018, Sub-Saharan Africa was the lowest scoring region. Surveys and experts' assessments were conducted to measure public sector corruption in 180 countries and territories in the world. A country like Kenya, which was ranked 144 out of 180, is highly religious. Almost 98% of the population has a religious belief. And this seems to be the pattern across the continent, although there are exceptions. Like Botswana, for example, which has a large number of Christians, but is the least corrupt country on the continent, ranking number 34 out of 180. So why is it that these religious countries don't have better societies? After all, religion and religious groups teach us to love one another, to be kind and to do good. And why is it that corruption is still so rampant? A country like Uganda is very religious, but it is only at position 149 out of 180. Why is this the case? Let's hear what some Ugandans have to say.
People overbelieve in miracles. They sleep in churches instead of working. They stay in churches waiting for miracles. So also that it has also led to laziness, where people really think that there are miracles that can be performed in the 21st century or in this new millennium.
Religion plays a very vital part in fighting corruption, because corruption is something that attacks our society. And the pillars that we rely on, or the pillars that we, you know, rely on in society, are morals that we learn and that are taught in our religious fields or religious, you know, groups that we belong to.
Now, in most of these religious groups, people are not allowed to question authority. They even find it difficult to demand that the government should provide basic services. What does Haji Nsereko Mtumba of Uganda's Muslims Supreme Council think?
For us as religious leaders, we detest and we condemn corruption, because corruption is more dangerous than poison, is even more dangerous than a nuclear bomb. Imagine now, take an example of drugs, these human drugs. Someone is corrupted at the frontier, and he satisfies the drug that it can be useful to people, only to find that it's poison. How many people are killed? Corruption is a disease, is an evil. Corruption is poison. So it should be fought. But for us religious leaders, we just preach against it. Otherwise, we don't have an instrument of coercion. We can't do anything. We don't have an authority in poison.
So, is religion failing in the fight against corruption? Here's Father Peter Baka of Matia Mulumba Parish.
If we are going to fight corruption, we have to begin by focusing on the young. Not simply learning mathematics, geography, and so on, but showing them that when you do good, goodness itself is its own reward, and we are rewarding you.
A good point there from Father Baka. But what do sociologists have to say about this? Martin Semper is a clergyman and sociologist. He gives us his analysis as a sociologist.
Most of us went through missionary schools. The schools that were training leaders were built by missionaries. Okay, Nigeria, Ghana, Uganda, Kenya. But now with the privatization and education is very much in the formation of people, we have moved away from where faith is actually the basis of our character. Now education is a business. We have privatized educational institutions. Government is paying very little amount of money.
Well, underpayment is indeed a reason for corruption, especially in public offices. But what about greed? This is also a factor that we cannot and should not ignore. So if religion is not enough to stop corruption, what else is needed? Martin Semper again.
When you look at the average person in the country, there is a discrepancy of income. They are working harder, but they are earning less money. You have to understand that. Somehow, it's like when you oppress people all the time, they will have to find a way of making it.
But what does the youth in Uganda think?
Religion has the power to stop that culture, but like all things, people have to be truly invested in it, truly hold themselves accountable to it, even in their closets. So if people really invest themselves into religion, it does have the power to change that.
Religious leaders themselves are actually dealing with people of different diversities, the same people that are actually involved in corruption. They're the same people that are going to the churches. So I think it is the best alternative that we can have as Africa to use it as a platform to make sure that the Christians, who also dub as civil servants or any person who can get involved in corruption, are put to order.
If our Christian leaders just put more effort to train these children to have these roots of Christianity, yes, religion can help us stop corruption in our country.
In a made-up language, in a made-up time, I met a made-up people with a made-up cry, singing deck, deck, deck. In my fabrication, on the town's main street, stood an army general trying to make a speech. But the people would not listen, they weren't listening anymore. They'd lost too many children in the stupid war, singing death.
Now, to delve further into the topic, I'm joined in the studio by Josephine Mahachi, who is currently visiting Bonn from Zimbabwe. Josephine, it's glad to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. How are you doing?
Very fine and really good to have you here. Now, we've been talking a lot about how religion is not really helping in the fight against corruption. But shouldn't we be looking more at governments and how they are oppressing people?
You know, I look at the three aspects, which is religion, corruption, and poverty. And I feel this is a vicious circle that can be rearranged as a vicious triangle, affecting Africa negatively, per se. So you put poverty on top, if it's a triangle, then corruption maybe on the left and the religion on the right. Poverty is the main drive towards religion in Africa, if I may say, because religion has now become like a hiding place for poverty, for people that are poverty stricken in Africa. You know, you look at people that sleep as a pauper today and they want to wake up as a millionaire. And because people in Africa can't afford hospitals, they can't afford medicals, they can't afford medication. So they turn now to religion for miracles, because we have these pastors that call themselves healers, that have become like second Jesus or whatever they would want to call themselves in Africa. So you find that poverty is actually the one that's driving people to turn into religion or to turn to religion. And by then, some of these pastors are also now becoming so corrupt. And you know, obviously, in Africa, the rate of unemployment is so high. And you just get somebody that will wake up today and say, I'm now a pastor. And all that is just business. So that's how I look at it sometimes.
Actually, we have comments here from our listeners. And Kyle Kaye is saying, religion of today leads followers into poverty. Pastors today have turned religion into an industry to extort the poor, frustrated followers that were corrupted to the extent of being frustrated. I mean, this issue of fake pastors and fake prophets is an issue that is very rampant in the African countries. Recently, we just had in South Africa a prophet who was saying he can raise people from the dead, you know. So such things, are people really blinded by religion?
I think it's the level of poverty right now in Africa. Like I said before, 90% of these religious bodies have become so corrupt, and they take advantage of gullible congregants and, you know, take the little that they are left with. You know, you're speaking of Pastor Ralph Lukau from, I think he's from DRC, who just rose someone from the dead in South Africa. You know, when you look at the clip, you can see that all that is drama, but you see the congregants that over like thousands of people screaming, happy, you know, singing, celebrating. And you wonder that, are these people normal? But the funny thing is, amongst the congregants I looked, there were so many nationalities, even there were Chinese, there were white people. And I'm thinking, what has the world become? But you find that these pastors are really taking advantage of the gullible people. And it will take a while until people understand that religion is not all about miracles.
That's true. And like you said it, you know, it is unfortunate that pastors are actually taking advantage of this. But you also have to look at the side of religion in a sense that some religious groups have built schools, they've built hospitals. So they're trying to bring in some development in their countries. How do we look at it in this way?
Now, those are the churches like, you know, Catholics, you know, those are the historic churches that have been there long time ago, Catholic, Anglican, all those ones. I have not seen any of these latest Pentecostal churches give back to the people. Rather, they just take from the people. I'm yet, maybe, unless if you know any of the recent pastors, that you tell me what they have done. Because what I'm seeing is all they do is play with people's minds to benefit. And you find some people even walking in the rain with no shoes going to church. But I'll give an example of even the same pastor in South Africa, this Alf Lukau. There's a clip, you can find it on YouTube, where he arrived and in one of the most expensive cars with horses by the sides, police and all, you know, like a real, not even just a prisoner, like a royal prince, yeah. You know. So, and then you find someone who's coming to just throw in R2 as offering, you know, I don't know where this person is coming from, and it's raining, you know, things like that. But I look at, you know, sometimes I think it's idle mind is a devil's workshop. Poverty has driven us into this. And it's so sad that as Africans, we accept these people to do this. I'll give another example. There's a prophet in Zimbabwe, Walter Magaya, who's just recently introduced a cure for HIV. I don't know if you heard about that, though the Zimbabwean government.
I did, yes.
Yeah. So you see, it's because to access ARVs in Zimbabwe right now is a problem. And even if you can access them, do you have the money to buy them? So this pastor just thought of, okay, I've got some partners from India. There's this Aguma. Once you take the tablets once, then HIV disappears in your body. So what will people do then? They will have to sell the little that they have, sell properties, sell cars, sell whatever that you can, that at least let me just cure myself once and for all, rather than me taking ARVs every month. But is it really true that Aguma, whatever that he calls it, can cure HIV? So those are some of the things that they're really taking advantage of people.
That's very true. And now talking about Zimbabwe, it is also ranked in the Corruption Perception Index as number 160 out of 180 countries.
Look at that. So Zimbabwe, that was once Africa's breadbasket. Zimbabwe, that was once one of the best countries in Africa. But today, look at where we are. It's sad.
It is indeed sad. And we have a number of comments here as well. KKS is saying, without any doubt, religion is one of the determinants of poverty in Africa. People believe in miracles instead of working. And another one here from Muhammad Ba from The Gambia, he's saying the fundamental cause of corruption is poverty. Hence, the connection is between poverty and corruption. So there are some people here who don't see the connection between religion and corruption, but they tend to say it is actually poverty that is related to corruption and religion has nothing to do with it here.
I think those are some of the people that you find screaming in these churches when a prophet does a funny miracle, like miracle money, expanding someone's shoe size. We've seen a lot of miracles. Those are some of the people that really need to understand that you cannot separate, because at the end of the day, how many of these pastors are really called? Church is now become business in Africa. That is the truth. So you cannot separate religion now with corruption.
It is scary. And it brings me back to some of our comments here. Damian Novick is saying, throughout Africa, religious ideologies have become completely commercialized to the point that they are these fake and self-made religious leaders who target the poor and weak by promising them wealth and in turn create a business by essentially making a joke of people's faith and beliefs.
That's true.
And Kefa Ngalama Strom is saying, the day Africans will wake from the religious coma is the day we'll understand our full potential. We'll learn to do the right things in the right way, become independent in all kinds of ways, use and control our resources to the best interests of African people. Well, we see here people really, they also see that we need to take off this veil of religion and take a step to want to fight corruption. Because I think we can say a lot about religion, we can say a lot about poverty, but it is us to take the step to say, no, I'm going to face the government. I'm going to speak to this government and I'm going to say what I need from the government, because the government also has to play a role.
But, you know, also I blame the governments in some of these countries because they've gone so silent looking at people being taken advantage of, because also they take advantage of their people. But there is one president that I would love to respect in that aspect, which is the president of Rwanda, Paul Kagame, with the way he's even reducing those churches in his country. He said that if you don't have a theological degree or something, then you cannot run a church. You know, things like that. It's controlling. And look at even the economy in Rwanda. When you look at it comparing to other African countries, you can see that he is really trying to do something good. Of course, somebody cannot be 100% perfect. But when it comes to the topic that we're talking about today, he is someone that I really respect because he has that control of churches in his country. And I wish many African leaders can start doing that. Why can't you just be like one church body and save souls? If it's about saving souls, and if it's not about money, then obviously your agenda should be one.
That's very true. Mm. Well, Josephine, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. Truly appreciate.
And hope to hear from you some other time.
Definitely.
We've now come to the end of this week's 77% show. You can listen to this show and previous editions by visiting dw.com/77. Keep the 77% debate going by visiting our Facebook page, DW Africa, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/DW Africa. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Eunice Wanjiro. Bye for now.